Turn with me in your Bibles as we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and some other places, related places in the Bible. The Apostle Paul gives his testimony of his life. Of course, we know that before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul the persecutor. And he sought out Christians, and in his deception, he sought to put them in jail, to bind them, even put them to death. And of course, the Lord Jesus appeared unto him on his way to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And there he was converted, and he became the Apostle Paul. And we read his testimony in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8 through 10. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, or not worthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. I wasn't like the other apostles called in their lifetime and dedicated my life all those years of following him. No, I was a persecutor. Verse 10, though, he says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And here we find that the Apostle Paul makes this great statement. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And let's take a moment to think about that phrase or that word, the grace of God. There's a number of verses in the Bible that probably give us some insight into that word, the grace of God. We'll be looking at some of them. But 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 puts this in a summary statement. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now it describes it. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, here we find that grace of God is both, what should I say, both a negative and a positive. A negative in the fact that it is applied to our past life. And that's really a positive. But it's a positive in that fact that it refers to our future life as a Christian. It's kind of, it almost reminds us of Romans chapter 1, where it tells us that in Romans 1, 16, we can turn there if you want to. I'll take a moment on that verse. Romans chapter 1, it says this. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, talking about the gospel, from faith to faith. From faith to faith. And what is it saying? It said, you're saved by faith. But that's not the end of a life of faith. You're saved from faith unto faith. You know, the Christian life is a life of faith. You know, you don't stop making big decisions, trusting God for big things when you get saved. Getting saved is a big decision of faith. Of course, we're looking at it from a human standpoint right now. It says from faith to faith. And the Christian life is a life of faith. You know, you think that getting saved was a big decision. And, boy, wow, wait a minute. That's just the beginning. The Christian life is all about those big decisions of faith. It says from faith to faith. And so it's looking at salvation from a human standpoint. From faith to faith. Now, as we think about the grace of God, we think about the fact that our sin is taken care of because of the grace of God. But you know what? That's not the end. That's not the end. That's not the end of the grace of God. The grace of God is something to be experienced on a daily basis. On a daily basis. And so, Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Oh, not only was I saved by the grace of God, but I am what I am. I have become what I am by the grace of God. Wow. And saying that the grace of God characterizes God's provision for our sin and salvation. But the grace of God characterizes the new life, the growth, the success, all that takes place in a Christian life is all about the grace of God. What God is doing in our life. And that verse that we looked at, 2 Corinthians 8:9, he says, here's the grace of God. Okay, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. Well, let's just say you were $5,000 in the hole. Okay? And someone said, okay, I'm going to pay your debt, and you're going to be out of debt. Well, great. Now you're at even. But here someone says, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take care of your debt, your $5,000 whole. But I'll give you $1 million. Well, now, not only are you not poor, now you're rich. But more than that, he says, every year I give you another $1 million. Now you're rich. That's a poor illustration, but the grace of God not only covers our sin, but the grace of God is the resource of supernatural change in our life. And we have the same parallel. Okay, you're saved by faith. Oh, you think, man, that was great. Man, I can remember the day and all that worked up to it that, boy, I finally, boy, that was a big step. That was a big step to put my faith in Jesus Christ and to trust him. Oh, man, I had to make some big decisions. I had to think about, my life, and I had to think about all those things, what people would say, and no, I don't care. I'm going to get saved and put your faith in Christ. And well, wasn't that great? But you know what? The Bible says that's only like the beginning. The whole Christian life is a continuation of big steps of faith, little ones too. But when you got saved, there's little steps of faith that brought you to the big step of faith. Now, I'm afraid that there's some counterfeit Christianity where some people come to a big step of faith and that's it. That's the end. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It says it's from faith to faith. And our lives should be characterized by big decisions of faith going forward. And if it isn't, and if we think the biggest decision of faith in our life was the day we got saved, we're not really, we really don't understand what this is all about. On the other hand, The same is true of grace. God's grace. God's grace has to do with all that God does for us. You know, faith is emphasizing the human side of salvation. But grace is emphasizing God's part of salvation. And so, in God's grace. Now, grace embodies God's love, God's kindness, God's mercy, God's power, God's life. All embodied in this thing called the grace of God. And we know that we would emphasize the epitome of the bottom line of grace is that it's not deserved. It's not deserved. The Apostle Paul emphasizes, I'm not meet, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I persecuted the church of God. What am I worthy of? Well, he knew what he was worthy of. But God not only forgave him, but God made him rich. He made him apostle. And he didn't just make an apostle, he made him a great apostle. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. So let's look at some more verses about the grace of God. There's a number of verses in the Bible that speak about the abundance of God's grace. The abundance of God's grace. And we have lots of phrases in the Bible about that. And we have two aspects of it. We have a negative aspect of it, and we have a positive aspect of it. Let's look at the negative aspect of God's grace, but really it's a positive. But let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that one, the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Well, here's the negative, is the fact that though we were poor, we were sinners, lost, desperate, hopeless, rotten. That not only the Lord Jesus take away our poverty, he made us rich. And here in the Bible is the doctrine of justification. The doctrine of justification. That not only when we are saved are our sins washed away, but what is put on our account? The perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Well, that's grace. Where is my sin? Where do I deserve to go because of my sin? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's where we need to go. We deserve to go. Physical death, spiritual death. We deserve to go to hell. But what is God's grace? God's grace is that not only does God wash away our sins in the blood of Christ, but he imputes to our account the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Wow. Now that's covering the negative territory. Do we deserve it? Do we deserve to be forgiven of our sins? No. Do we deserve the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ put on our account? No. Are we in any sense worthy of it? No. How could that be possible? Because of the love and the kindness and the mercy of God. That's why. That is the grace of God. But you know, that is only one. That's the negative part of the grace of God. And it's pretty positive, isn't it? But that's the negative part. What's the positive part of the grace of God? Well, we have a little bit of an inference of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And here we're discussing a big story, but simplifying it, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. It's something that bothered him every day. It was an irritation. It hindered his life. It hindered his ministry. It made his life a little bit unpleasant. It was a thorn in the flesh. Now, I think it was, it had to do something with his eyesight. Some think he got it when he was on the missionary journey in Pamphylia, and he got malaria. And as a result of malaria, he had lost part of his sight, or whatever it might be. I'm not sure what it was. The Bible says there's evidence though that he could not see well, because he talks about the large letter that he had written. It wasn't large in size. If you ever had any dealings with the people who are partially blind, they write very large. And that's what the Apostle Paul was. Most of his letters were written by a scribe, but one of them he wrote himself, and that he wrote with large letters, an evidence that he had a real problem with his sight. And that'd be kind of a difficult thing. I had a pastor who was legally blind, and he couldn't read books. And people in the church would have to read books on tape, and then he would listen to them. He couldn't drive. His wife had to drive him around. He went visiting. Somebody had to take him visiting. And I remember looking at one of his sermons, and he had his sermons, and he'd write real big, you know, and then he could see his sermons and he could preach them. But his notes weren't, you know, little. They were big letters, and it was a difficult life. He faced it every day. We don't know if that was it. That's my theory. Bible doesn't tell us, but he had a thorn in the flesh, and he said, "Lord, take it away. Take it away. It makes my life difficult. I have a lot to do for you." And the Lord says, "No, I'm not going to take it away, because this thing is going to keep you dependent on me. Going to keep you dependent on me. You've been have so many blessings. You don't want them to go to your head. You want to keep. I want to keep you humble. I want to keep you dependent upon me." And so, in that context, verse 8: "For this thing I besought the Lord three times, thrice, that it might depart from me." You say, "Boy, Apostle Paul, he had big prayers. Didn't he have this big prayer answered? He had this big prayer answered. God said no." So don't listen to the faith healers that say, there's something wrong with you. God doesn't answer your prayer. God answered this prayer, and it was no. And the greatest Christian ever lived, he said, "No, I'm not going to heal you. I'm not going to heal you." And he said, and this is his answer. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient. My grace will meet your every need. And my strength, not yours, my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you're weak, then you can have my strength. But you know, when we're strong, we don't need God. And the Apostle Paul, his answer was, Okay, Lord, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then Am I strong? Not strong in myself, but strong in God's strength, in God's grace. So here's the positive side. Now, think about this. 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter is written about the apostasy of the last days. And it talks about it in false prophets in 2 Peter chapter 3. And what should God's people do in the last days? Melt into the compromise or stand up against it? What should they do? Well, perhaps fact is most people melt into it. But what does Peter say? What is the answer to the apostasy of the last days? But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Huh. That's positive. Grow in the supernatural ability available in Jesus Christ. That's the answer. And so, what is God's grace? God's grace is God's unmerited riches and blessings of mercy, forgiveness of sins, supernatural strength and ability, His sovereign working on our behalf, all because of Christ. And it's all undeserved. And it's available at any time. Now the Bible talks about the abundance of God's grace. This is a great truth. The abundance of God's grace. Well, let's look at a couple of verses in the Bible that talk about the abundance of God's grace. Let's go to, we looked at Romans 5:20. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. What is it saying there? It's saying that it doesn't matter how bad a sinner you are. God can forgive you. Doesn't matter how bad a sinner you are. Now, maybe your sins are big in the flesh. God can forgive them. Maybe your sins are big in the spirit. You don't. You live a pretty righteous life, but you're mighty proud of it. That's a pretty big sin too, isn't it? You're proud of who you are, proud of your religion, proud of whatever. You're not so bad. Well, that's a pretty big sin, but praise God. God's grace, in His grace, He's able to even forgive that big sin. And so He says His grace is abundant. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Apostle Paul talks about his life. In verse 14, of 1 Timothy 1:14. He talks about it in verse 12, I thank God, Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And here we see both aspects. Apostle Paul says, whoa, you know what? I was really wicked. And you know what? God forgave me. But not only did He forgive me, but He enabled me and He put me into the ministry. I was not worthy to be forgiven. I wasn't worthy to serve Him, but He enabled me. That's the grace of God. Titus chapter 3, it's another phrase, talks about the abundance of His grace. Verse 4, 5, and 6, but after that the kindness, Titus 3, 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. That being justified by faith, by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Well, not only have our sins forgiven, not only have the imputed righteousness of Christ, but we also inherit the kingdom. We are heirs with Christ in his kingdom. Wow. I mean, talking about the abundance of his mercy, the abundance that's far beyond our comprehension. You know, the abundance of God's mercy, the abundance of his grace. You know, someone said, what about God's grace? How available, how abundant is it? Does it ever run out? And someone said, you know, the grace of God are as vast as the oceans. Think of a little sparrow trying to drink all the waters in the oceans. That's about how vast the grace of God is. It's so vast beyond our comprehension. And the Apostle Paul experienced the abundance of his grace. And constantly the scripture is talking about the abundance of his grace. But you know, the Bible says that contrary to public thinking today, the grace of God positively, well, let's start over. The grace of God is transformational. Not only the grace of God, is it God's supernatural ability and his mercy and blessings on undeserved souls, but the grace of God is also more than just a deposit. The grace of God is transformational. The Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Everything in my life, God did it. It's a miracle. Saving me plus making me a great apostle. It's the grace of God. He says, but, he says, you know what? He says, his grace wasn't in vain. He says, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Now he's giving, recognizing that everything God did in his life was up to God. And God did it. But notice, he said it's transformational. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. And isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18? Matthew 18. It's kind of a long parable. Verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain man, king, which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. About $52 million. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, about $100, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe $500. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And this his fellow servants fell down at his feet and said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw that he was what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto them their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? That's what he's saying. You know, the grace of God is transformational. He said, you experienced this great forgiveness of sin. That ought to have changed your life. It ought to have transformed you. And what is the Lord saying? The Lord is saying just what the Apostle Paul said. The grace of God is transformational. Not only is it transformational in that it gives us forgiveness of sins and makes us a child of God, and we experience the riches of Christ because of His grace, but the grace of God is His supernatural enabling and His power in our life. It's positive. And so, contrary to what is happening today in Christianity, the grace of God is transformational. It's the supernatural ability, supernatural experience of God's supernatural power in our life. It's the supernatural power that not only forgives a sinner, but it makes the sinner a great saint. That's the grace of God. And it's God's supernatural riches and power available to every sinner because of the love and mercy and kindness of God. And so the Bible makes it clear that the false definition of grace isn't true. The false definition of grace isn't true. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. That's not God's grace. God's grace isn't license. No, God's grace is transformational. And so what does it say? Titus chapter 2. Verse 11. It says, for the grace of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. There we go. There's the negative. The grace of God that brings salvation. There's the negative. Justified by His grace. Our sins are washed away in the blood of Christ, and the righteousness of Christ is imputed to our account. How can it be? Oh, how can it be? How can that be? But it is. Amen? It is. That's the word justification. Our sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. Not only are our account cleared, but the righteousness of Christ is imputed to our account. Wow. But it's not just there. It's not just the negative. It's the positive. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. See, grace isn't license. Grace is transformational. Grace is transformational. And so Jude, right before Revelation, Jude 3. In Jude 3 it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Huh, what's the truth? Which was once delivered unto the saints. For why? There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Oh, there it is. What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That is totally against the whole premise and teaching and heart of grace. God forbid! And yet it says this great, wonderful truth of the Bible. It says men in the last days will turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Say the grace of God just allows me to live the way I want. The grace of God allows me to live in license. The grace of God allows me to live loosely. No. That's not God's grace. God's grace is both positive and negative. And the positive, again, is the unmerited riches and blessings and mercies available to undeserving sinners through Jesus Christ. His power, His ability, His strength, His victory available to God's people at any time because of Jesus Christ. His grace. What do you need spiritually? It's available through Jesus Christ. It's available. And not in us. No, not me. Oh, yeah. Aren't you glad that in failure, there's not only forgiveness, but there's grace. The Bible says the just man falleth seven times, and he getteth up. That's the grace of God. The unmerited riches and blessings, the supernatural power and ability found in Jesus Christ, available at any time to the people of God. And so the grace of God is abundant. It's transformational. It's instructional. It teaches us. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope. Oh, the grace of God is instructional. It causes us to see correctly sin and this world and see above it and see the supernatural ability available in Jesus Christ. It causes us to look to the coming of Jesus Christ. So, the Apostle Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. I didn't deserve to have my sins forgiven. Neither is there anything in me that I could take credit for who I am. He said in 1 Timothy, God hath enabled him. He wasn't the great Apostle Paul because of his own ability. He was the great Apostle Paul because he tapped into the ability, the supernatural ability found in Jesus Christ. So now think about this. All right? The Christian life, from a human standpoint, from faith to faith, big decision of faith, trust in Christ, followed by many big decisions to trust Christ. That's the human side. Now I wonder, is the biggest decision in your life the day you accepted Christ? I mean, it is the biggest in the fact that, you know, it changed the whole course of your life. But it really, if it is the biggest in the sense of the cost and the agony, then you missed out. Because going forward for God are continued big steps of faith. Cost you something. You have to take the promises of God and turn in total dependence to follow Christ. That's the Christian life. That's one side. That's the human side. But the divine side. You know what the divine side is? The grace of God. Oh, God did it. Isn't that amazing? I can't believe it. God did it. You know, God put those people in my path. And you know what? Made a difference. If those people wouldn't have come in my path, I never would have heard. I never would have heard. And you know, it's the grace of God. When the Spirit of God convicted me, it's the grace of God that when the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin, I didn't brush it off. But I said, yes, Lord, you're right. You know, that's the grace of God, isn't it? Every man left to himself, you know what he'll do? No man seeks after God. Every man left to himself will willingly go to hell. And that's why some of God's people right here need to ask God to intervene in their life, because you're making wrong decisions and they'll destroy your life. You need God's help, because on your own, you'll make the wrong decisions and you'll ruin everything that God has tried to do in your life. The grace of God, that's how we get saved. Oh, to think that I trusted Christ and He washed away my sins? How can that be? That's beyond comprehension. That He really could do that. It's just not a... You know, I'm just thinking about the fact, you know, when I got saved, sometimes I'd pinch myself. And I say, is this real? Am I in a dream? This is so wonderful. You know, I said, maybe I pinch myself, make sure I'm really alive here. You know, that this is real, real. I'm not in a dream. You ever have a dream? You know, and sometimes you wake up and you say, boy, I'm glad that was a dream. Oh, man, I'm glad that was a dream. Oh, you know, well, this is one of those, I thought, is this a dream? It's too good to be true. Too good to be true that God would forgive us of our sin. How could our sin be forgiven? It's so terrible. And give us a new heart. That's the grace of God. But what is the grace of God? The grace of God is something that we should be experiencing on a continual basis in our life. God's supernatural strength, God's supernatural ability, His working in our life, something that we can't do. It's Him. And Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Oh, you say, oh, Apostle Paul, you know, he just got saved and he became the great Apostle Paul. Is nothing. No big problem for him. No, he said, I didn't do it. It's the grace of God. Now, the human side. Huge steps of faith continually. But on the divine side, God's ability, God's strength, God's working. He said, why did he say, I rejoice in persecution? Why do I rejoice in infirmities? Why do I rejoice in all these things? Why does he say that? Because he had an opportunity to experience the supernatural working of God in his life. You know, Apostle Paul is human just like you and I. And what would the human side of this be? Well, the human side of it is, I quit. Human side of it is, I take the easy road. What's the human side? Okay, let's change things around. I don't want to go to jail. You know, I think this, what took place today, this last week in America, it could be the forerunner of the fact that there may be a day that anybody who works for the government in America will have to compromise their beliefs. No government jobs, no government pensions, no government benefits. That includes public school teachers. They already have to compromise. They can't speak for Christ openly. Apostle Paul said, you know what? Every one of those places I was in, I had the opportunity to experience the supernatural strengthening, empowering, leading, working of God. And if I hadn't been in those places, it wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have needed the Lord. And I wouldn't have gone forward. The grace of God is something that we ought to be experiencing on our everyday experience walk with the Lord. And it's supernatural. It's supernatural. Whether it's supernatural deliverance from temptation, whether it's supernatural working ahead in your life, God did it. Not me, God. You know, I was just sitting on the couch yesterday and I was just thinking about, says, you know, I bet you people sometimes just think that, you know, Ron Roberts, he's just really tough. And I was sitting there in the pew and thinking, you know what? People have no idea. Every day I face weakness. And I am so weak in myself. So weak. When I am weak, then he is strong. What a great thing it is. God's grace is real. It is abundant. It's transformational. It's available. You know, it's like taking your tap water and plugging it into the ocean and thinking taking five drinks a day is going to have an effect. I don't think it's going to have much effect. It doesn't run out, praise the Lord. Where do you need to be? God's grace is sufficient. You must have been somewhere where you shouldn't have been. God's grace is sufficient. Where sin abound, God's grace did much more abound. I wonder today, we ought to take time and say, you know what? I am what I am by the grace of God. God did it. Number two, we ought to say, God's grace is available right now. All you got to do is tap into it. Tap into it. Are you characterized in your life as a person who taps into the grace of God? Of course, you can't start unless you have, you might say, come to that place where you did tap into, you know, you got to drill the well first, right? You got to hit water first. You got to get saved first. When you get saved, you got the well, just start pumping. You really don't have to pump because it's an artesian well. And if you get sin out of your life and all the things that hinder the water from flowing, God's grace just flows through our lives. When we get to heaven, heaven's all about, Lord, this is what you did. Lord, this is what you did. Life is all about trusting God to do what he can only do. Life on this earth is trusting God to do what only he can do. You know, the devil has a lot of tricks in his bag. One of his tricks, of course, is when you're unsaved, he says, oh, you're too bad a sinner, you can't get saved. That's one of his tricks. Another trick is when you get saved and you make a mistake, he says, well, you're done for now. Might as well just give up. That's another one of his tricks, right? Accuser of the brethren. Got lots of tricks. And he'll have the tricks of, well, you're saved now, just kind of take it easy. That's a trick of the devil. No, God's plan for our life is the greatness of getting saved, and the greatness of his grace is something that we should be continually experiencing in our life. The greatness of his grace. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the key. Have you been just coasting? Did your faith, so to speak, stop long ago making big decisions for God of spiritual advancement? Well, that's about the same place the supernatural working of God in your life stopped too. But the well is still there. My grace is sufficient for you. Perhaps you're in difficult days today. We are burdened with you. We trust that we're carrying your load with you. But you know, in those burdens, you can find that God's grace is sufficient. You may not have any clue how you can go forward. And humanly, there really probably isn't any way you can go forward. But God's grace is sufficient to go forward. Try to explain it? Can't explain it, but it's real. Sometimes the best that people can do is just trust God, and that's all they can do. But God's grace is sufficient. Amen. And someday they'll be able to look back. Someday in the near future, they'll say, I don't know how I ever got through that. I have no idea how I ever... And say, thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace. There's no way I could ever have made it through that. But God brought me through it. His grace is sufficient. Christian life from a human standpoint, from faith to faith. From a divine standpoint, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Are you experiencing God's grace? Thank God. His riches, the abundance, the supernatural ability For those who will, in humble faith, will turn to Him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank You today. This subject is really so much greater than a few words could ever express. And I pray, encourage, and trust that the people of God would be encouraged to trust You, because Your strength is available and Your grace is sufficient. And I pray as well that, Lord, that those who have stopped trusting You would realize that by faith they can once again experience the supernatural, unmerited forgiveness, power, strength, enablement of Jesus Christ. And pray it would be so. Even now, Lord, pray that You would direct Your people to trust You. I pray that You'd encourage those who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior to realize that by faith they can trust Him, can turn to Him, and He can forgive all their sin and make them a new person. Wow. Lord, may they understand that is true in the riches of Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today and you say, you know what? I got hope. I don't have to give up. I don't have to quit. I don't have to go the wrong direction. God can help me. But God's waiting for you to come to Him. Turn to Him. Surrender to Him. Lean upon Him. Allow Him. Let Him to give yourself to His will so He can enable you to do it. As a Christian, God is speaking to your heart about the availability of God's grace to enable you and your need to trust Him for it. Say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart today as a Christian about going forward by the grace of God. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand and say, God has spoken to me about that specifically. Okay, amen. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. Praise the Lord. May put your hands down. Maybe you're here today and say, you know what? I can't fathom that God could forgive me of all my sins. And not only that, but make me completely perfect in Christ and give me a new heart. So I can't fathom that. It is just unbelievable. But that is the grace of God available through Jesus Christ. And today you say, Pastor Roberts, I need to be saved. I need to trust Jesus Christ and experience the greatness of His grace and mercy, the wonderful riches in Christ that are only available by faith in Jesus Christ. Pray for me. I'm not saved, but I need to be. Anyone here today, just raise your hand wherever you might be. I'm not saved, but I need to be. I need to come to a God of grace who will save me and make me new. I don't deserve it, but that's the wonderful thing about God's grace. It's available for those who don't deserve it, who will, by faith, trust Christ. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to be. Anyone here? Lord, now we thank You today for the Word of God and for these great truths and pray that You'd use them in our lives. And even this week, Lord, for the people of God who face difficulties, even in little areas, might they realize that Your grace is sufficient. They can depend upon Thee And Lord, for the big ones, for the big issues. And Lord, I pray, and for those who raise their hand today, there's a specific need that you dealt with today. And Lord, I pray that in their life that they will trust you, and that they will be filled with rejoicing that you have enabled them, even in a time of sorrow and trouble, but that yet they can still rejoice in your enabling. And so, Lord, we give you the credit and the glory for what you'll do. Work in hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.